Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you in our Friday morning get-togethers. And it's just beginning to get a little brighter out there. Kind of a pleasant morning for Friday.
We like to start our show with listener questions. Our question comes from Michael. Hi, Bob. I haven't heard much about annuities performed during post-bubble contractions. What are your thoughts on annuities?
I never think of them. Hmm. Yeah, no, they exist. You put your money in, and the operator agrees to pay you so much a year, thus annuity, or quarterly or monthly, whatever. And sometimes it can be a bit of an insurance plan where there's a certain actuarial risk calculation made as to how long they can keep the payments going. And because there's essentially no market for them, how can you say what they do? They just exist, that's all. So, yeah, but, gosh, thanks for the question, because I hadn't thought about those things in ages. So, yeah.
Now, a headline that caught your eye today from Breitbart: the spending will continue until the deficit improves.
Oh, yeah.
And your comment on it was, it's similar to the quote from Captain Bly: the floggings will continue until the crew's morale improves.
Yeah, I looked at that. Oh. And you know, Jim, I lost the Breitbart one for a while, but fortunately I grabbed it, and then I thought, my God, that reminds of the old quip about Captain Bly, you know, and stuff like Mutiny on the Bounty, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know that story. So anyways, it's a remarkable story. And they made a very good movie out of it in the 1940s with Clark Gable. And then I think there's others. I forget who was in it. But good entertainment.
Well, so how can you tell us the spending will continue until the deficit improves? Obviously, that's a positive feedback loop because, of course, the more you spend, the worse the deficit gets.
That's right. It's not going to work. So, and the idiocy at the two federal governments in North America, Canada and the United States, the federal government, the idiocy is in each one is amazing. In the course, U.S., you got Joe Biden, and the so-called debate the other evening was just an absolute disaster for Biden. He really hasn't got a clue, and strong supporters, say, at New York Times, are saying it is time to get him out. And then you have Trudeau in Canada. The U.S. at least have an election scheduled for November the 5th, but we don't have, or won't be forced to have one until later next year. And Trudeau's popularity is at the bottom, but he is just such a stubborn and egotistical individual. He will stay on, continuing to impose his disastrous policies, and one of them includes a bill, I forget what it is, but it intrudes upon the internet, and anybody whose view he doesn't like, of which mine would be one, you have it's possibly to be put in the slammer, for God's sake. So he has a serious attack upon free speech. Yeah, and Trudeau, of course, over the years has said that how much he admires communism, because with a totalitarian state like that, when they make a decision to do something, they can act upon it immediately. So, no, he is an authoritarian monster, and the question here is that with his polls so low, and those for the Liberal Party of Canada down there with it, at some point, the Liberal Party of Canada, which has been a remarkably successful political party for 100 years, somewhere it has to move to protect the Liberal Party of Canada. So somewhere, and I hope as soon as possible, they ease Trudeau out. So, yeah.
Well, his father was famous for going for a walk in a snowstorm and deciding, well, you know, I'm not popular anymore. I'm going to step down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going, it's too bad it's the middle of summer and no snowstorms in sight.
Yeah, but with Trudeau Sr.,
yeah,
he made the risk of leaving, and that upset the Liberal Party organization. And then they gave him what he wanted, if he would come back and be leader. And, of course, what he wanted was to interfere with the Constitution, which he did do. So, no, it was quite the ploy. But Trudeau Jr. is beyond cleverness. He's just a monolithic machine representing the World Economic Forum's view into Ottawa. He is not there representing the head of government by and for the people and accountable to the people. He is there to impose. This is why he keeps going on about climate change, for God's sakes, and taxing carbon dioxide of all things and things like that. So anyways.
Well, I've seen two reports, Bob, that say the one country that will benefit the most from a warming climate is Canada.
True.
Because we're the second coldest country, so you have lower heating bills. Plus, as snow and ice retreat, it reveals more of our natural resources, which the government is very reluctant to use. He doesn't want to sell natural gas to Asia and Europe, and they're starving for it.
Yeah,
what's better to burn, natural gas or coal?
Right.
And somehow he thinks coal is better because China's opening up hundreds of coal plants.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that since life arrived on Earth a billion years or so ago, warming periods have been very good for life, and cooling periods not so good.
Yeah, naturally,
there was one time when the Earth was completely covered with ice and slush, as a slush ball. Now, how many critters would be living on the Earth's surface when it's mainly covered with ice and slush?
Margarita lovers, Bob. Margaritas, slush. Yes, but naturally, we know from ice cores, we get 10,000 years of warm, usually, and 100,000 years of cold. Yeah. We're lucky to be in the 10,000 years of warm.
Yeah, we're on an interglacial. It's been very pleasant. And here's the issue, is that these very ambitious political figures, for the first time in history, that warming is no longer good for us. And it's bad and it's dangerous. And that began in, 1981 with James Hansen, or then, or thereabouts. It's crazy. Hitherto, warming was good, and then all of a sudden, warming is bad. And here's the other thing, is that in in Germany, particularly Northern Europe, in the 1500s. It was in the little ice cooling trend. And the weather at times could be miserable with too much rain, and there were many crop failures. And also, the conditions were so dismal that even the grass growing had not enough nutrients in it, and even the livestock were pressured. So, anyways.
And Bob, what did they blame the cooling climate on back then?
Didn't attribute to anything. Well, they knew it caused it, and that was that witches were causing the bad weather, and so learned magistrates legitimately charged and convicted thousands of women as witches causing bad weather. It went on right on through the 1500s. I'm telling you, it was literally thousands of women were killed for causing the bad weather. But this time around now, the authoritarian magistrates, well, they're not murdering those who are causing the bad weather, but they're much more democratic about it. It's not just women causing the bad weather. It's men and infants as well, causing the bad weather.
Yes, Germany alone burned to death between 40 and 60,000 women.
Yeah, that's a big number. I'm not certain on it, but and all I know is it was in the order of the thousands. So, yeah.
And we'll take a look at some more headlines that caught my eye, and I'll have Bob comment on them right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. These headlines come to us from the Trends Letter and our friend Martin Straith. So the first headline is connected to what we were talking about originally. Ballooning U.S. budget deficit is killing the American dream.
Well, it's certainly impairing the financial markets. And at some point, it'll kill the boom, the financial boom. And it is fully expressed, by the way. You can often have highs in May, June, thus the old saying, sell in May and go away. And the point about it is that you can come into May with a good stock market, but if it's not overbought, the chances are it'll keep going. But if you come into May, June with seriously overbought, and I can say all our technical bells and whistles are making dangerous noises, then you'll get a thing. Now, here also, going back in history with the great financial bubbles, the first one, the South Sea Bubble of 1720, it completed in June of that year. Then the following great bubbles, 1772, 1825, 1873 and 1929, in London, they all completed in May. And then the pattern was that they did it around during the summer. You know, British stockbrokers, upper class, would spend the season doing whatever they do and less attention to the markets. So they would dither through the summer and then in September begin to fail. And then each bubble failed with dramatically in September, October, and then kind of washed out a little week or so of rebound, and then tested all the lows in November of each year. Now, the one that was different was the 1825 bubble, and that final pressures didn't clear until that January. And I got a quote here by a deputy governor of the Bank of England. and wrote in December 1825, those who had been busied in that terrible scene could recollect that they had families who had some claim upon their attention. It happened to me not to see my children for that week. And then there was somebody else wrote during the holiday season, never was there a less merry New Year in London than the present. So it's amazing how when the excesses come in, usually May, dither through the summer, then beginning to get hit hard in September and finalize late in the year. So as I said, our technical assessments were to the moon recently. You know, as straight up as you can get. So I think there's going to be quite a sell-off in beginning in somewhere in September.
Now, here's a headline that caught my eye. Dairy farmers in Denmark face the world's first carbon tax on farmers. They have to pay $96 a year for each cow.
Yeah, because the cow farts methane, and this is evil. So, no, the authoritarians in Denmark are crazy. So it is. But the main thing is that the issue has been created by government promoters in order to extend control and to rip off everybody with taxes.
This is very upsetting for the farmers because Denmark is a major dairy and pork exporters. Who hasn't had one of those little Danish sausages?
Ooh.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And this follows just months after farmers held protests across Europe about excessive red tape and complaints about, a tax on nitrogen.
The attacks on nitrogen have been stupid beyond belief because farmers maybe 1,500 years ago figured out that you had to replace certain nutrients in the soil, so they did crop rotations. And then eventually I learned that putting in a field of legumes, clover or beans of some kind, did much to restore something in the soil. They didn't know what it was, but they learned crop rotation and things were fine. And then now you've got, like, even Trudeau in Canada here, 6 months or so ago, was going on about reducing the nitrogen in the soil and be damned if it would raise the costs of growing things and reduce the potential harvests and yields. So, no, these people who get onto these issues are ambitious. They love extending control over people, and plus it is a way to pillage everybody's wallet and get the money.
Another headline that we have here is Biden's debate performance sets off alarm bells for Democrats.
Yeah, I read a couple of editorial pieces on that this morning, yeah. Even a strongly supporting liberal Democrat essayist, an editorial writer, is saying, as much as we love you, Joe, please to retire. And, of course, this is going to have to be done quickly because you've got to set up an alternative leader. And at the moment, it was the VP, and that's Kamala. And she's hopeless. So Dems are in a difficult place.
And our final headline here, Bob. Nike shares plunge after retailer says sales will fall 10%. Because of weakness in the Chinese economy. In other words, Nike, take a hikey.
Take a hike. Now, off 10%, is that 5% per foot?
it could be the sole cause.
Oh, Don't tread on me with those puns.
Are we a bunch of heels to bring this up? Or are we just towing the line?
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good. I love a string of puns, you know, you get going.
Oh, we're bad at them, Bob.
Yeah.
Our puns are so bad, they're good. Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we have a good time and look forward to Friday next.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@housestreet.com. Find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.